Good morning with KUAC Local News. I'm Robin. Tomorrow is Prescription Drug Take-Back Day. That's when people can turn over unwanted or unused prescription medications, no questions asked, so that they're not abused or discarded into the environment. John Graham of Alaska's Health and Human Services says taking back prescription opioids is important, in particular because more than half people who misuse the painkillers got them from a friend or a relative.
These opioids lying around in your medicine cabinet or somewhere else in your home are a gateway and a pathway towards abuse and addiction for other people.
Graham says it's just one initiative in a multi-pronged effort toward fighting opioid addiction that includes better access to treatment and recovery.
Treatment and recovery includes a lot of things. It includes housing, it includes other social supports. So it's a complex thing that every state and every community has to respond to.
Graham says medication-assisted treatment and comprehensive syringe access programs, some of which include providing safe injection sites, have been effective treatment methods. To turn over unused drugs, Fairbanks Police Department will have drop-off locations set up at their offices on Cushman Street, at Fred Meyer East on the Steese Highway, and Costco on College Road, and the Alaska State Troopers opening their office on Pegger Road. All those locations are open for drop-off between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. tomorrow. Are you missing a pair of D.C. tennis shoes? On Monday, the Alaska State Troopers received a report that packages were stolen from a house in the University West neighborhood of Fairbanks. About $250 worth of merchandise was taken. A neighborhood watch member was able to provide useful information about a possible suspect vehicle. A search of the Fairbanks area resulted in the vehicle being located off Blaine Road, and troopers were able to locate all the stolen items inside the vehicle. And they also found these D.C. tennis shoes that were most likely stolen in another mail theft. If you have more information about this, please contact Trooper Johnson at 451-5100. Since last year, advocates in Nome have been working with that city council to create a public safety commission. It would be an independent body where citizens could bring public safety concerns, especially reports of sexual assault, if they're uncomfortable with procedures at the police department. Trita Stampas asked the city council to consider a question. What would have happened if a public safety commission had been formed sooner in Nome?
Once a sexual assault survivor came forward to report, she would have had a non-police option for reporting and might more readily have come forward. She would have found the commission was inclusive of the gender and racial makeup of Nome. She could expect that there would be women and or Alaska Native people to whom to report if that mattered and made her more comfortable.
Following a recommendation from the city manager, that council decided to delay the vote on the ordinance until next month to make suggested changes. After Governor Mike Dunleavy wrote President Donald Trump in March about Alaska being the first to get Medicaid dollars as a block grant, Dunleavy's health commissioner downplayed the cumbersome prospect to lawmakers. During a confirmation hearing earlier this month, Commissioner Adam Crum said there is no current mechanism for the federal government to provide block grants for Medicaid. Crum said the option would be considered if available, but it's not the main plan for health now. Crum called Dunleavy's comments a foot in the door and a way to let the federal government know Alaska's interested in pursuing options that provide more flexibility. Critics of the plan think it would actually bring in fewer federal dollars and hurt vulnerable Alaskans because the program would be capped with a fixed funding level. When legislators asked Crum if the governor consulted him on the idea of Medicaid block grants, Crum said no. But he said it has allowed for ongoing discussion of ideas. The Trump administration's plan to expand offshore drilling in the Arctic and throughout U.S. coastal waters is on indefinite hold. That's according to a Wall Street Journal story quoting Interior Secretary David Bernhardt. Acknowledgement of the delay follows a court order last month from U.S. District Court Judge Sharon Gleason. It blocked new lease sales in parts of the Arctic and the Atlantic that the previous administration had closed to drilling. Assistant Interior Secretary Joe Balash says the department stopped active work on the National Offshore Leasing Plan in light of Gleason's order.
That's created a variable that, you know, we have to figure out what to do and how to do our next step, because Alaska's a big piece of the puzzle for us.
Balash says the Arctic is key because of its oil and gas potential, and in Alaska, unlike most other coastal states, the governor does not oppose offshore drilling. As Balash sees it, Secretary Bernhardt's remarks to the media are consistent.
I don't think we view this as a big pause, as maybe has been reported. But, you know, it is going to require some decision making.
The draft plan of the U.S. Department of Interior issued last January 2018 called for lease sales in the Beaufort Sea as early as this year. Mild weather and one of Interior Alaska's warmest winters on record have aided the park spring road crew in their efforts to open the Denali Park Road. Park staff officially opened the road to private vehicle traffic as far as mile 30, the Teklanika rest area. The road will remain open, weather permitting, until May 20th, when transit buses start running for the season and get the priority on the road. Park visitors continue to enjoy winter recreation activities like mushing, cross-country skiing, and snowshoeing, but warm weather and longer days are changing conditions rapidly from winter to spring. And that may cause the park staff to close and open the road several times. Visitors are encouraged to contact the park for updated road and weather information. Visitors going now should expect to encounter snow, ice, and mud on some portions of the road, particularly in the shaded sections. Limited restroom facilities are available on the part of the road that's open, and everything else, including campgrounds, will remain closed until later in May, except the Muri Science and Learning Center, which is now serving as the Winter Visitor Center. It's open daily until May 15th, when the main Denali Visitor Center opens for the 2019 season. It may be easier to book a flight into or out of Fairbanks this summer. Fairbanks International Airport staff is forecasting an increase in seat capacity. New service on United Airlines to Denver and San Francisco, and an additional fifth daily flight to Seattle on Alaska Airlines, all add up to a 17% increase. United Airlines summer capacity is expected to more than double. It is starting its existing Fairbanks to Chicago route this week instead of waiting till June like it did last summer, and will fly that route until early October instead of ending in August. Alaska Airlines is still the largest carrier in terms of summer capacity, followed by Delta Airlines and United Airlines. Other summer carriers include Air North, Condor, Delta Airlines, 40 Mile Air, and Raven Alaska. Angie Spear, airport manager, says more seat capacity is not only good for Interior Alaska residents who fly in and out of Fairbanks International, but also for the growing cruise industry that offers land tour packages. Fairbanks International Airport serves more than 1 million passengers every year. For KUAC News, I'm Robin.